Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Right now, it's time for your lunchtime doctor, favorite lunchtime doctor, Dr. Sophia Muhammad, as we get ready to answer all your medical questions. And she has a very special guest with her today. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, Bass. Good afternoon to all those tuned in for your lunchtime doctor. I am Dr. Sophia Muhammad, and as promised yesterday, we have a very special guest that will join us shortly into the program, here to answer some of those questions as we discuss on fertility, male infertility, female infertility, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Yes, later on in this program and throughout the entire month, we will have these discussions on by the Trinidad and Tobago IVF Center. On our program here today, we're going to have Dr. Catherine Minto-Bain. She will join us shortly, and it's in request by your questions. You all know this program is to answer your medical challenges. And we also not just welcome your challenges, we welcome what's on your lunchtime plate. Tell us, what health habits have you learnt from this program, and what are you sharing with your community today? All right here on your lunchtime doctor. Bass will share those numbers with you.
All right, folks, good afternoon once again. Hi to all of our first-time listeners and hopefully first-time callers and messengers. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and for your WhatsApp messages only, 306-1065. Of course, we're live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Vibe City 105, and Sky 99.5 FM. Feel free to message our other frequencies, and they will forward questions right to us.
So right here on the Lunchtime Doctor, we've had a number of questions on polycystic ovarian syndrome. We've talked about nutritional habits. We've actually talked about a couple of the medical solutions. We've not talked about in vitro fertilization. We've not talked about male infertility. And that's some of the questions. So I want all those who are tuned in, get your questions ready. You can even start sending them in to the WhatsApp so that when our fertility specialist, Dr. Catherine Minto-Bain, joins us, she can have these questions shared, and with the answers shared to you. Upcoming on July 1st, there is indeed going to be an entire segment, an entire conference, I would say, dedicated to these fertility issues. The conference is called Conceiving Hope, Your Journey to Parenthood. This particular conference is going to be on Saturday, July 1st at Hilton. And the idea of it is to really address these medical challenges that one faces. So during the course of this program and some of the other programs right here on Freedom, we're going to be addressing these topics.
All right, as we await some questions, maybe we can address, Doctor, what are some things or male habits that can affect a male fertility?
Most definitely. The main one right here in Trinidad and Tobago that affects a male infertility is smoking and alcohol. Unfortunately, we have a high population that utilizes alcohol as their release or as their de-stressor. And unfortunately, large amounts of alcohol will affect infertility. What we need to also keep in mind that our eating habits can also affect our testosterone levels. What we also need to keep in mind is that our stress can also affect those testosterone levels, all of which leads into male infertility. So those are some of the things that we know will be addressed. But also, we need to be a little bit more aware on the checkups. And we know men on the whole don't have proper health-seeking behaviors. Some of the things that will be addressed at that conference and right here on your Lunchtime Doctor.
All right, Doc, this is a pertinent from yesterday. Hi, Doctor. Humans have worms and in the intestines and a need to be killed to overcome sluggish children. All parasites may need to be destroyed, and worm medicine, I think, is needed for children and adults to be taken two times a year. What say you, Doc?
So yes, that was brought forward yesterday in the conversation. And yes, the gut does have parasites. However, there are useful gut bacteria and useful parasites. So we have to be mindful in how we attempt to remove or cleanse the gut, because we could be putting the gut at more dysfunction. And that's why it's always recommended, keep in mind, you want to manage the gut microbiome. Hope that answers the question.
All right, so there's something as too much cleansing and too much cleaning.
Most definitely, like everything else, that may happen, and that does happen. In fact, we've had some patients who have undergone some of this colon cleansing, and their body becomes so dehydrated, they lose the natural bacteria. Even your skin have natural bacteria, and definitely your gut. It needs that natural microbiome. And that's why it's important for us to know what are within the limits and be guided by your healthcare professional.
All right. And once again, folks, our number is 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, WhatsApp at 3061065. And even though we are talking a lot about, you know, men this month, of course, ladies, feel free to message and call us as well.
And with all females, we have those questions always being asked. Mm-hmm. Endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, hormonal changes, all of these are causes of infertility, female infertility, even stress. And yes, I'd be the first to admit that stress, I think, is one of the major causes, because it affects stress. Your cortisol levels. It affects the hormonal cycles. So all of that we're talking on here.
Okay. Hi, good day. My dad suffered a heart attack last month. He is in all medications. He is in all medications at cardiac patient. Since he came home from the hospital, he has been having problems with his feet. It's cramping and he is having a lot of pain, mostly from the knee down. Can you advise me as to what he can do? Thank you.
Definitely. I'm so sorry that your dad experienced a massive heart attack. Yes, he would be on quite a number of medications. But what is so important is that consistency to the medication. He may have been experiencing these circulation concerns well before the symptoms of the heart attack, but now it may be because of the heart attack. A heart attack is an occlusion to the main arteries of the heart, and it affects the entire circulation of the body. So the ejection fraction may be altered. This is why consistency with the medication, rehabilitation is so important. What you described there that your dad is experiencing on his lower limbs is one of the symptoms that we do see our patients experience. And what we want them to also be mindful of is that in taking the medications, they also need to be particular attention to their nutrition and, of course, exercise. The rehabilitation is so important. And as we mentioned, we will be having a special guest joining us right here on The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Catherine Minto-Bain. We'll introduce her shortly. And remember, your questions, your consultations, all those questions we have during the week on infertility, on polycystic ovarian syndrome, on male infertility, there's an upcoming conference that will be addressing those concerns. So let's see if there are any questions on the line or on the WhatsApp before we join with our special guest.
All right, we have two more questions there. This one coming again. Hi, good day, doctor. How long does an ulcer take to heal on someone with sickle cell, or does it heal at all?
So when it comes to the ulcerative process of the digestive tract, be it the esophagus or within the stomach itself, yes, a sickle cell patient does have a diminished healing time. It's crucially important, one, that we do proper investigations. We may need to do some sort of endoscopy to have an idea of exactly where the ulcerations are. Sometimes we may need to do even a biopsy. And definitely, the medical treatment is key. There can be a few medications that are involved in treating the patient. When it comes to sickle cell, we obviously take a little bit more caution because we want to manage their blood loss. And with an ulcerated stomach lining, then there may be more blood loss. So we want to ensure that all of these factors are addressed with our sickle cell patient.
Another one. Good day, doctor. How do you treat with white coat syndrome?
So white coat syndrome, we've talked about this, and for those who are not familiar, when one presents to the doctor, their blood pressures can be elevated. They may be checking it at home and it can be normal. However, the anxiety building up to going to the doctor's office can offset the systolic pressure. But keep in mind, it's so important that this is where you can journal your blood pressure. And of course, you can also keep that, walk with it to your healthcare professional so they would know what the values are at home. Keep in mind, we as healthcare professionals are very aware that white coat hypertension, white coat syndrome happens.
All right, two more questions before we get to your guest. Lipoma, what is the difference between lipoma and lymphoma?
Very important question. Now, both of them do present with a mass. A lipoma, however, is indeed a mass that's situated just under the skin. Most times, a lipoma may not be a cancerous type mass. However, a lymphoma, that is where it goes a little bit more sinister, because a lymphoma is actually the general term for a cancer that starts out in the lymph nodes. So it can be a lymphoma, can be just about in any organ. And it's definitely, it's linked into your white blood cells that actually fight off infections. So they are two very different things, different presentations, and definitely as well, different symptoms and treatment.
All right, good day, doctor. My 12-year-old son, they use the word here, enjoys pain in his mental ill health. He would get a cut and not say anything about it. And when it's forming scab, he digs it.
Now, with our young adolescents, they tend to be very curious about their bodies. They can very easily explore these cuts and bruises. As the patient shared, that he wants to actually dig into the scab. Here's where some conversation with your 12-year-old is so important. This is where you want to give them, empower them, let them know why it is you want them to help it heal, why it is that they shouldn't try to investigate it with their fingers. And if it is one that likes to investigate, then certainly what I recommend is make sure he has shortened nails, clean fingernails, so that there isn't any insertion or inclusion of this bacteria within this healing area. Now, we're just about at that 12:20 mark. And as we promised, we're here with a very special guest, Dr. Catherine Minto-Bain. Give me a few minutes to introduce this very important guest. You see, on July 1st, there's going to be, first of its kind, a conference right here in Trinidad and Tobago addressing fertility concerns. Conceiving Hope, Your Journey to Parenthood. It's being hosted by the Trinidad and Tobago IVF In Vitro Fertilization and Fertility Center. The director at this center is Dr. Catherine Minto-Bain, fertility specialist, consultant, obstetric and gynecologist, who's been here in Trinidad for probably more than 15 years. Now, before I even do the introduction, all of you all as listeners, even the new listeners, will now learn that, and I've shared it openly, that I myself had a bit of a fertility journey. And Dr. Catherine Minto-Bain was crucial, was literally a pivot on that journey 13 years ago. Happily, I can say 11 years thereafter, so just, sorry, 2 years thereafter, 11 years ago, I was blessed with my little one. This fertility specialist has over two decades experience working both here in Trinidad and her native UK. She's spent quite a bit of time training across the UK, Bristol University, as basic medical sciences, then moved on to her specialization, her ONG specialization at King's College Hospital for subspecialization across at, which is in reproductive medicine, at University College London. Now, after working about 11 years in the UK NHS, she moved here to Trinidad, and it is our distinguished honor to have her join us right here on the Lunchtime Doctor. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Catherine Minto-Bain.
Dr. Sophia, thank you so much. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. It's an absolute joy to be here today. I'm thrilled to be here. And hopefully we can really get into some infertility issues and questions that people have.
Definitely. So let's start with, before we even talk a little bit about the conference, at the Trinidad and Tobago IVF Center and Fertility Center, what are some of more the common conditions you see persons presenting with because of primary infertility?
We see everything. So, Dr. Sophia, we see everything, and we see people presenting because they've never had a child, primary infertility. People come in because they're struggling and they just can't get that second child, secondary infertility. We see a lot of male factors. A lot of my work is counseling men on why their problems are causing fertility issues, blocked tubes, PCOS, so many different things, things with egg problems, egg issues. We also see a lot of women nowadays, I'd love to have a baby and I'm single, can I use donor sperm? Absolutely. We have a donor sperm bank. I'm a bit older and my eggs won't make a baby. I'm older now, you know, my late 40s. Can I have a baby? Absolutely. We have a donor egg bank, the biggest in the Caribbean. We also see a lot of younger people with cancer these days, surviving cancer. And, you know, some of them are going to want to freeze some sperm or freeze some eggs and preserve some fertility for the future. And actually, wonderfully, more and more now, we see people coming early and saying, give me a fertility check. You know, I'm with a partner. I'm thinking of babies next year. Can I have a fertility check? And yes, we do that too. So we see everything.
You know, Dr. Bain, it's so amazing to hear that all of this is available right here in Trinidad, especially when we're referencing our cancer patients. Now, to those who are tuned in, there's a special program on tomorrow with Dr. Asante LeBlanc, where they will go a little bit deeper on that aspect. Now, let's just go back, dial it back to the main reason we're here for this conversation. This upcoming conference, Conceiving Hope, Your Journey to Parenthood, which is going to be July 1st, Saturday, July 1st at Hilton. Tell us a little bit about what's the genesis for Conceiving Hope?
So we really want to raise awareness. Just like you were saying about the high quality and the highly qualified fertility experts we have here in Trinidad and Tobago, and all of the sophisticated fertility treatments we have, you know, right here for people, right here in TNT. And, you know, if you stay home and you're in Trinidad and Tobago and you're with your family and your friends, you're going to get that physical, that emotional, that psychological support, as well as a better financial well-being because you're not having to travel abroad. So this event that we are offering, it's free, and we want anyone who needs fertility help to come along. It's an educational program. It's going to run from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and it'll be presented by me and our other fertility experts. It's not just an educational program. We're going to have exciting, interactive exhibits, which I can't wait for people to see because they're going to be so amazing. And it gives people a chance to learn everything you need to know in a really supportive, calm environment, find out about the latest fertility treatments, testing, everything that's here in TNT for you. And it's really the goal is to give people information, because information is power. And to show people, you know, if you're struggling with infertility, firstly, you're not alone. But how do you walk your path to parenthood with, you know, hope and confidence and the right information?
Dr. Bain, you know, what you said there is so important. One, this all of this is available here in Trinidad. And more so, at this conference is going to be that safe space where one can be open about these conversations. And we know that these conversations, a couple years ago, were so heavily stigmatized. They may even still be stigmatized now. I hope I've played a bit of a part in reducing some of that stigma. When I have talked about my own primary infertility and that diagnosis, what I've seen here that will be at this conference is the exhibition hall, the fertility hub, the fertility island, and more so the polycystic ovarian syndrome, the PCOS wellness booths. We've had quite a lot of callers talk to us ask questions about polycystic ovarian syndrome. Tell us a little bit more about these exhibits that will be available on the conference day.
Yeah, so Dr. Sophia, I love what you're doing, talking about things openly, giving good information, and I think it really helps for us to share our own experiences. You know, all doctors and nurses are human beings, and we've been through things, and the people that have the bravery and the courage to stand up and talk, they help so many other people. And people need that feeling, that strength to be able to say, hello, I need help, will you help me? So I applaud everything you're doing. Let's talk about these exhibits. Yeah, I mean, the staff in the clinic, I work with the most amazing team, and they had real fun going through and saying, well, I don't want to call this one the sperm booth. Can we call it something much more exciting? So, yeah, we're going to come to that one at the end. What did we call the sperm table? So our exhibition hall, we're calling it the fertility hub because it's a hub. There's so much there, and it's got this time 5 special fertility information stations. When everyone comes along, you know, we're going to be doing this next year again. If we need more than 5, we'll be listening to you guys. It's really interactive. So I want people to feel free to come in and talk to us. You're going to see members of the TTIVF team at each of these booths. You get to ask me your questions, take a peek at some really interesting videos so you can see what we do every day. Lots of information about the topics. So Fertility Island, your destination for IVF and IUI solutions. This booth gives you a real guided tour of how IVF and insemination work, and how we tailor those treatments to specific people with specific medical needs. And you know, TNT, we have different needs medically than you get in other countries. We have different problems here. What's next? We have the Fertility Test Quest booth, that's one for diagnostic testing. You know, what do I need to have test-wise? What do I need to begin my fertility treatment? Our PCOS wellness booth, I love that name. And, you know, PCOS is such a huge problem here. Our team will talk to you about resources, lifestyle tips, strategies when you have PCOS. Then we've got the Eggceptional Donors booth. And this is for people who are thinking of using donor eggs to have their family, which can be a fabulous way for some people. So here at TTIVF, we have the region's largest and most diverse egg bank. So this booth is exciting. And then the last one, it's not called the sperm table. It's called the Fertility Fighter Pilot, Navigating the World of Sperm. And that's really where you're going to see all the science behind male factor fertility and learn about sperm health.
You know, I hope our male listeners heard that, the Fertility Fighter Pilot. Now, we're going to open the lines to you shortly. Send your questions into WhatsApp, and at about 12:35, we're going to open these lines in case you have any questions. Remember, we're gearing our questions right now towards infertility, primary infertility, secondary infertility, male and female. Now, just to put that into perspective, you're hearing us talk about a conference. It's called Conceiving Hope, Your Journey to Parenting, to Parenthood. And for those who are interested, it's a free registration. TrinidadIVF.com. TrinidadIVF.com, July 1st at Hilton, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There, the entire team and specialists from the Trinidad and Tobago IVF Center will be there to share not just information, but nuggets, knowledge. And then, of course, there are persons who are what they've categorized as fertility warriors who will share their own personal journeys. Share with us, Dr. Bain, a little bit about these fertility warriors.
Yes, Dr. Sophia, you know that we have some really brave patients and they've agreed to participate in part of the educational program at this event. They are the fertility warriors who've had their beautiful babies with our help. Some have used IVF, some have used IUI treatments. And you know, if you're trying for a baby and it seems hopeless, I think their stories will not only touch your heart, but they're going to give you some insights, and that helps you get going on your journey. And you know what? I just got a text just literally as we came on air, Dr. Sophia, and one of our patients has literally just given birth to a baby girl, and we had another baby girl born yesterday. And you know, these people, some of our couples and our families, they've been through so much to get there. I really would love people to come and hear this, because I think it's difficult to believe it can ever happen. And you know, if you're struggling to have a baby, men, women, everyone, if struggling to have a baby is what you're going through, this is for you. This event is for you. Dr. Sophia, I would say we're booking up fast though, so we have a limited amount of space and we're already two-thirds full, so you do need to register. You're welcome to register yourself, register a friend or your partner, but only people who are registered are going to be able to get in. So I really would encourage people, please go to the website trinidadivf.com. You'll find all the details on the event there, but a registration form, and you have to complete that to get your spot at the event.
Now, we recognize we already have a couple questions in the WhatsApp. So over to you, Biz. Let's get those questions for Dr. Catherine Mintobina.
All right, let's get some related questions. We have two here. Good afternoon, Doc. My daughter was small at birth, and as a teenager, she had very, very bad period pains. We live in the U.S. She was born in Trinidad. I know she would like to have a baby, but she was diagnosed with endometriosis. She had to have an emergency surgery for a few years ago because the pains were so bad. I need some advice for my daughter. Thank you.
Good morning. I mean, that's heartbreaking to go through as a mother worrying about your daughter. My heart goes out to you. And you're right to ask these questions. Endometriosis, endo, it's a condition where bits of the tissue cells that are the period blood that bleed inside your womb, they're in the wrong place outside of the womb, bleeding and causing chaos. They classically cause pain, and it's diagnosed a lot now more in teenagers and young women. But the question is, does it affect your fertility? And it can. Half of women with endo are going to have some problems conceiving. A reassuring part of this, though, is that half of women with endo are not. So she may or she may not have fertility issues, but she needs to get ahead. What she needs to do is really see somebody, go to a fertility clinic and ask for a fertility check, because getting on top of it and predicting issues, particularly when you have endo, is it gives you really a much better chance of having that family that you want. So good news, endo does not mean that you'll never be a mommy, and it's your daughter. It doesn't mean you're never going to not be a granny. But women with endo do face more problems. Sometimes they have low egg levels. Sometimes they have more problems with egg quality. And certainly, young women with endo that come to us in the clinic here in Trinidad and Tobago, if they're really thinking they don't want a baby just yet and they're kind of heading into their middle to late 30s, ideally women who are leaving it to start trying should freeze some eggs. So a lot more now these days, women with endo are freezing their eggs in their late 20s if they're not really rushing into to starting a family with their partner, or they haven't got a partner. So find out more, but don't panic, but definitely be empowered. Go and find out. Get a fertility check done.
Okay, and the other
Thank
question.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Can I get the other question?
Let's get the next question.
All right. How can this facility help someone that loses their womb, that lost their womb?
That's a tough one. So when you've lost your womb for whatever reason, you've had a surgery called a hysterectomy, and so you no longer have the womb there, the uterus. sometimes you still have the ovaries where the eggs are, and you have the possibility that you might be able to have a child with those eggs. Oftentimes the ovaries are taken out as well, and you have no womb and no eggs. Now, to have a baby without a womb means you have to ask somebody else to carry that baby for you. That's called gestational surrogacy. That is not legally done anywhere in the Caribbean, but it is done in countries abroad. People generally tend to go to the US for that now. So we see people in the clinic to talk them through their options, but we don't do procedures here to get women pregnant to carry a baby for somebody else. But we can give you information on that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bain. Now, just to remind everyone who's tuning in, we have Dr. Catherine Minto Bain, fertility specialist, consultant, obstetrician and gynecologist, medical director at the Trinidad and Tobago In Vitro Fertilization, that's IVF and Fertility Center, as our special guest joining us here on the Lunchtime Doctor. And the reason being is because there is an upcoming conference, an upcoming educational program called Conceiving Hope, Your Journey to Parenthood, on July 1st at Hilton, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And for all those who are interested, registration is on the website trinidadivf.com. I'll return to base if there are any more WhatsApp questions, or let's open the line.
Yeah, we do have a lot of questions, but it's not related to the doctor. But would you take them?
Let's take one of the questions, and then we'll return to our conversation on fertility.
All right. Good day, Doc. How do you treat with white coat syndrome?
So we answered that one earlier on.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Let me see. There's one here. It's just sticking. Hi, good day, Doc. Can menopause cause a cyst to form?
So when it comes to menopause, can you, what I would suggest is actually send that question across to myself, because I didn't hear the end piece of it. With menopause, remember we've discussed that it could be different stages, and yes, menopause can have, the person can unfortunately present in a number of different ways. It can affect their mental health, it can affect their psychological system, and it can also, because of the change in the estrogen, the direct drop of estrogen, it affects the entire system and the metabolic system. Once I get the question into my WhatsApp, I'll be able to answer it. But over to Dr. Bain. We've had a lot of patients talk to us, ask questions on polycystic ovarian syndrome. What sorts of treatments are there available at the Trinidad and Tobago IVF and Fertility Center for patients with PCOS?
Dr. Sophia, that's such a great question, and we get a lot of questions about it. So what is available is, and what a person needs for their PCOS really depends on how it's bothering them, because it can cause so many different symptoms. When people come to us, they're normally wanting a baby. So we're going to go down the route of, okay, what are your fertility options with PCOS? And the first thing I'm going to say is that a lot of women who've been diagnosed with PCOS, actually, the fertility issue actually is in the male partner. There's a sperm issue, and the PCOS is fairly mild, and actually they've not really got a fertility issue with the PCOS. So number one in Trinidad and Tobago is PCOS is pretty much over diagnosed, and a lot of the time when people have been told they've got it, they really probably don't have all necessarily have it. So we confirm that you really do have it, and then we see if you've got the type where your eggs aren't coming out. So you want to make sure you haven't missed another cause for fertility. And if it really is just PCOS, PCOS, great. They've got some brilliant treatments for it. Letrozole, which is a way of making the eggs grow, works so much better for getting the eggs growing and coming out of the ovary, ovulating, so the sperm can find them. So letrozole is the medication we use as a first line now to help women get their eggs growing with PCOS. And it's largely replaced the older clomiphene, Clomid, that doesn't seem to work quite so well for women with PCOS. Sometimes women don't need the egg to grow. They need it to trigger to come out. So there's a trigger injection that we have. Sometimes the hormones are all over the place. And actually, you need to look at the prolactin levels, which can be high. And And then some women are going to need IVF or surgery for their PCOS, minor surgery procedures. So, but you don't jump into that first. That's one of the less, those tend to be less needed. And they're really for people that haven't got pregnant with the letrozole tablets. So lots of great options these days for PCOS, and lots of good things you can do to help yourself as well.
Thanks so much. Another question we get quite often with our male patients is testosterone, and how does the testosterone level impact upon fertility concerns?
So this is a really commonly asked one. A lot of men think testosterone, that male hormone that makes you big and bulky, testosterone equals sperm, and it's so completely wrong, okay? So the hormones that grow sperm in your body are FSH and LH. And you may have a slightly low testosterone level on your blood testing, but again, you need to do your testosterone testing at the right time of the day, because a testosterone level in guys is not one level all the time, it goes up and down. And testosterone in your body, it might be a little low, but often you're still producing good sperm. And I think the biggest problem men think is that, okay, if my testosterone is a little bit low, do I need to take testosterone to help my sperm? No, absolutely not. Testosterone, if you take it and put it into your body, is a contraceptive. It's just like a woman taking the birth control pill. The birth control pill is estrogen, the female hormone. Give it to a woman, she stops growing eggs. Testosterone, the male hormone that we think of, give it to a man, he stops making sperm. So really be careful with testosterone. Make sure, firstly, it's being tested at the right time. And if you are a bit low on your testosterone and a doctor is talking about giving you testosterone, yes, they're going to warn you. If they're up to date and know what they're talking about, they're going to say to you, okay, but if you want a baby, this is going to make you infertile. It's a cause of infertility. And it's definitely not something you give men to make their sperm better. And I'm really happy to talk about that, because we've had instances where people are just about to have their egg collection for IVF. It's a female issue. She's 43. I'm thinking about something that happened just last year. She's 43. She's hardly got any eggs. His sperm was fine when we tested it a month ago. He comes along to do his sperm for the treatment and give sperm so that we can get it into her eggs. And there's no sperm there. And we're like, what happened? And he goes, oh, yes, somebody gave me testosterone to just help things and help my sperm for the IVF. It's like, well, now we've got no sperm. And, you know, we have to wait for 6 months while it washes out. And we don't even know if she'll have eggs then. So we froze some eggs, but that's heartbreaking.
Again, all of this information is so crucial. And it is what I like what we're doing here, in that we're actually clearing some of the myths. Base, do we have any more WhatsApp questions there?
Yes, we have a couple here. How does stress affect fertility?
I know, that's a good one. Does stress affect fertility? No one's ever proven that. Does infertility cause stress? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a hugely stressful thing to go through. And we know that over half of people who are dealing with infertility deal with mild depression. A third of people are dealing with severe depression and anxiety. So infertility causes stress, yes. Let's look at refugee camps and war zones. Are we seeing no babies being born? Are we seeing infertility? No. We're seeing too many babies. We're, you know, look at refugee camps in places with famines. You're still seeing people having babies. Stress has never been proven to cause infertility, but it's all interlinked. Stress will certainly throw off your reproductive hormones. If you have an incredibly stressful event, we've all heard of somebody just not having a period that month, maybe didn't make an egg that month. Does it cause long-term infertility? The research says probably not. And what about stress-relieving things? You know, let's try acupuncture. Let's try counseling in terms of stress-relieving. None of these have ever improved pregnancy rates at all, which is why fertility clinics have to be so careful. You can't sell these things to people, because actually they've been proven not to increase pregnancy rates. But the fertility, stress, it's all very interlinked. That's my answer to that at the moment. But watch this space. There's lots of research looking at this around the world.
Thank you so much. Base, you said there are a couple more questions. We can probably take one more before we say goodbye to Dr. Catherine Mintobane.
Okay. Any treatment? What is the proper treatment for polycystic ovaries? And can one still get pregnant while having them?
So, yes, people can get pregnant when they've got PCOS. I think that's a... We should shout that from the rooftops. Dr. Sophia, I think you can shout it with me.
Yes, definitely.
So... I see women who were told they would never get pregnant, and they're pregnant, and they've got PCOS, and they're like, how? And it's like, actually, most women with PCOS are going to get pregnant, but it just sometimes takes people a bit longer. There are great treatments for PCOS, but again, it comes down to what is your specific issue. Do you have the overweight issues and the high sugar levels and the high blood pressure? Is your body actually stopping you from getting pregnant because you're not really ready and you're going to have a difficult pregnancy? Resolving some of those things, working on those can help. If you're healthy, do you just need help getting those eggs growing and coming out? There's great treatments for that. Letrozole, we were just talking about it. Some people, it's not the PCOS, it's something else that's actually stopping fertility. So you need a personal assessment. It's not one size fits all. It's, hello, who are you? How can I help you? Let me assess you. Here's how we go through PCOS. Let's figure out how it's affecting you and your body, because there's so many different types of PCOS. There really are. It's a fascinating subject, Dr. Sophia. I think we should do a whole show on it at some point in the future.
We certainly will. And, you know, what we're doing here is not just offering the information and knowledge, but we hope you take this knowledge and share it with someone, share the knowledge, and also incorporate it into your daily lifestyle. Let's jump back across the base for the last question.
All right. Can you break down what is an IUI?
I can, I, into, intra, you, uterus, uterine, I, insemination. That means the sperm. So it means into the uterus insemination of sperm. It's artificial insemination. It's a treatment to help the sperm. You get them a little bit further up inside the woman's body than they would get to. If you put them there with sex in the vagina, the sperm get put in the vagina, and they've got to fight their way through the cervix and get into the uterus, swim all the way into the fallopian tubes and try and find the egg. IUI, into the uterus insemination, it just takes a sperm two-thirds of the way, and it gets many millions more sperm up inside the womb than can get there naturally, but they still have to swim into the tubes. There still has to be good numbers of sperm. You still need at least one working and open tube so that there's actually going to be an egg there for that sperm to find. So it's a nice, simple treatment that can work quite well if you choose the right people. If it's not done properly, if you don't have a lab that can prepare the sperm properly, you're wasting your time with it. If you've got blocked tubes, it won't work. If you've got sperm numbers in the kind of moderate to low range, it doesn't work so well. It's a great treatment, though. We do lots. We're doing them all the time here in the clinic.
So what we've been discussing to all those who are tuned in, some of the marvels of modern fertility treatment. And no, this is not a rocket science. It's all available right here in Trinidad and Tobago by the Trinidad and Tobago IVF and Fertility Center. And we've been chatting with Dr. Catherine Mintobane, the medical director at the IVF and Fertility Center. Mainly the reason is because on July 1st, there is our upcoming conference, Conceiving Hope, Your Journey to Parenthood, July 1st at Hilton. And for those who are interested, there's a free registration. And as Dr. Catherine Mintobane mentioned, that registration is almost two-thirds filled up. So for those who are interested, register now at www.trinidadivf.com. We've been talking everything from IVF to IUI to egg and sperm donation. They'll be going much more in-depth at this conference, essentially starting off with Fertility 101 and just making it open to everyone who may be struggling with infertility that there are sophisticated medical treatments available right here in Trinidad and Tobago. Beside from the educational aspect, there's an entire exhibition hall where they will be having different presentations: the Fertility Hub, the Fertility Island, the Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome, the PCOS Wellness Boot, the Eggceptional Donors Boot, and just for all men, the Fertility Fighter Pilot, Navigating the World of Sperm. During the course of the next couple of weeks, you're going to be hearing a little bit more from the team at the Trinidad and Tobago IVF Fertility Center from Dr. Catherine Minto Bean. Dr. Bean, it has been our pleasure having you here on the Lunchtime Doctor. And before we say goodbye, we're leaving it for you to have your closing comments.
Dr. Sophia, thank you. It has been such a joy being here today, and what amazing questions. You know, that's wonderful to start talking more about infertility. So I am so excited about this event on July 1st, and it's free because of the generous help of our sponsors. And I'd really like to just say a big shout out to the people, to the companies that have enabled us to run this event for free. So Merck, Smith Robertson Limited, Ferring Pharmaceuticals and Healthcare Services Caribbean, thank you all for being such fabulous companies that supply our clinic with incredibly great medications and support. But you know, the sponsorship of this event means that really people can come for free for the day and really find out a lot. And as we said, register. Please go and register your place. I cannot wait to be there with all of the team at TTIVF, our nurses, our counselors, the other doctors, Dr. Brickell Timothy, Dr. Terri-Anne Rampall, our amazing science director who's from the US, Dr. Eva Schenkman. There's so many people you're going to meet. I can't wait to meet people. So we're looking forward to seeing you all on July 1st at the Hilton in Port of Spain.
So thank you again, Dr. Catherine Minto-Bean, and we look forward to the conference on July 1st. Remember, to all those who are interested, register at trinidadivf.com. Now, Bass, we're just going to see if we could jump into a few more of those questions that our callers or listeners may have been piling in before we end our today Lunchtime Doctor.
Yeah, sure. We do have a couple of calls. Remember, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you, Doctor. Doctor, what causes the human heart to become enlarged? What causes the human heart to become enlarged? Thank you.
You know, thank you so much. We really appreciate you sending in your questions. The human heart can be enlarged by just about so many different factors. It could be actual damage to the heart if there's a heart attack. It can be because the heart has to pump harder and the blood pressure is elevated. It can be because of those clots that get embedded into the arteries or the veins. There's several things can cause an enlarged human heart. It can even be in the case with a baby if they're born with something called cardiomegaly. Let's see if there are any more questions on the line.
Yeah, sure. Good day, Doctor. Could you tell me what can I do to remove wax in the air?
You know, we have so many persons who complain about wax in the air in the clinic. First and foremost, what we don't do is we do not put a Q-tip to the air to try to extract that wax, because it will only push it in further. You see, that wax or that cerumen that the air naturally produces is actually some of the normal production of the glands and the follicles. When it builds up, it's important that you can either put a drop of oil close to the tip and just use your finger. You don't need to use a Q-tip to try to extract that wax, because you can actually put it in further, and that can then cause further trouble. It can trap it, it can affect the eardrum, and all of that could further complicate the symptoms of the wax. You can even cause an ache. What I've just mentioned, you can use a drop of, they actually have air drops for your air, baby oil, or even a little bit of water onto you, just using it onto a cloth, a dampened cloth, or using your finger and you're applying the oil just to the outer aspect of the air. We're not going to try to put it inside. If there is a huge buildup of wax, however, what we do in the in the presence of the GP's office or your healthcare provider, we can actually irrigate the air and extract the wax if there's a huge buildup of it. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good afternoon, Doctor. Since my ITP diagnosis, I've been in and out of hospital and through different treatments. I'm currently being treated with rituximab and like to know if any herbs or food interact with this treatment, kind of affecting the platelets.
Yeah. So let's just kind of break down first and foremost, what is ITP? Because most of our listeners may not know what that is. It's an immune thrombocytopenia, a type of platelet disorder. And within it, those who have ITP, the blood may not clot as it usually would. When it comes to specific foods and herbs that can directly affect some of the medications, I'll simply have to go and do a little bit of a deep dive on that one. And we'll certainly get back to you on Monday with that specific medication and foods. But keep in mind, anyone with this diagnosis of ITP, because the blood itself does not clot, you want to also be mindful of any injuries, because there can be easy hemolysis. Is it a serious disease? Yes. There can be many complications of ITP, and the big one being hemorrhaging. Hope that answers part of your question. We'll get the rest of your answer on Monday to you.
Hi, good day, Doc and host. I am 62-year-old female. I had an ECG done on the 28th of March, 2023. Results were good. I had a mammogram done on the 5th of June, and okay, it was okay. The results I was told to be getting in 3 weeks. All right, my chest hurts. It's like a moving pain from under the left arm to the top of my chest, to the center of my chest. What must I do? Thank you.
So something like this sends my red alerts, my red flags screaming. Please go straight to the A&E or your private doctor, because any sort of pain in the chest, be it musculoskeletal or if it's cardiovascular in origin, we must further investigate, especially the way you describe movements and the changes in the pain. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get one more quickly on the phone. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, we lost that one there. All right. So, Doc, since remember yesterday we were to discuss our giving blood.
The blood donor. Yes, that's blood. Right. So today is World Blood Donor Day. It's so important for patients who is in need of blood, be it in their cancer treatment, those with leukemias, those who've had traumatic injuries, those who even need surgery. Preparation, if you're interested in going to donate blood, is crucially important. Here's what we want you to know. Prior to donating blood on the morning, eat well, and even the night before, hydrate yourself. You want to ensure you drink a little bit more water than usual. Dress comfortably. Remember, while the process of taking blood is just about 10 minutes, you want to make sure you have on a shirt or a t-shirt that you can easily roll up the sleeves, so it doesn't become constricting higher up or cause a constriction band. If there's any anxiety levels or fear of needles, just know that's normal. Take about 10 to 15 minutes prior to donating the blood to just feel engaged and know why you're going to be donating the blood. It's also important that you review what your medical history is like. If you've traveled recently, that information is important. Why? Because then we'll know what we need to screen for. Let's just say you happen to have gone to some part of South America where we need to make sure there isn't any, say, Hep B or C. So we'll need to make sure all of that is screened. We will also ask you a brief medical questions just to ensure if there's any history of blood pressure, high blood pressure, and of course, and if you're on any medications that can now further impact a blood donation. All of this information is available on the Ministry of Health website, and we want you to be well prepared if you have to donate blood. Keep in mind, every one blood donation can save up to 3 lives. And you can save a person's life just by donating blood. Today is World Blood Donor Day, and we want to do our part here in Guardian Media in encouraging you to donate blood.
All right, Doc, well, that's it for this week.
That's right. So tune in right here Monday to Tuesday, Wednesday for your lunchtime doctor. We crossed the 1 o'clock, but we had a special guest with a lot of questions from you all. We appreciate all those questions, and more so, we appreciate everyone here at the TBC team that makes this program available to you all, our listeners. Have a blessed day, base. Be careful out on those roads, and to all of our listeners as well, be careful in this weather.
All right, you too, Doc. Be careful as well. All right, folks, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Catch us again on Monday at 12 noon, and do enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend as well.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.